Funny the things you remember when you're up here. I'm remembering Brother Jim in one of our conferences back in Missouri during an August one year. I remember him giving an explanation of something he had studied, and at the time I thought it was the best explanation I'd ever heard about the subject. And so I know Jim is a student, and so I ask that you give to him your prayers and your ears this day. Jim?
Thank you. Good morning to you all. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. See if I can get this clipped on. It's a privilege to be up here before you today. I'm a little amazed. I'm nervous. I've been standing in front of 50 to 60, up to 100 doctors and nurses giving lectures for school with no problem whatsoever. But I feel the burden of who I represent up here today, and I am nervous. And a little bit shaky, dry mouth, wet palms, the whole thing. I have to ask you a question. What do you think you are? What are you? In the scriptures, we're described in many different ways. We're described as children. We're described as sheep, followers, brothers, sisters. We're called a lot of different things. But today I'm going to bring you into something else that we are, that we should never forget, that we are a creation of God, and something that He plays with, like I'm playing with this hunk of clay right now, something He uses and does things with. So this morning, I would like to start off in Genesis. And kind of bring you into where I'm trying to go with this. In Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse. And it reads, "And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God took us, grabbed a hunk of dirt, dust, clay, formed it, and He breathed into it the breath of life. How does that make us different than any other creature that was created on this earth? Think about it. How does it make us different? One of the things that makes us different was mentioned right there in that scripture. He gave us a soul, different than any other creature. And I have several other things here that He gave us, and I'm going to go through them. And then we're going to go through them and look at them and see how they affect us and what we are. Not only did He give us a soul, He gave us emotions. He gave us feelings. He gave us the ability to create. Not the creation that God created, but He gave us the ability to take the elements that God has given mankind and form them into other things. We can't create new molecules or elements, but we can take what God has given us. And we can create steel. We can create blocks. The wheel. Medicine. And we can do marvelous things with what God has given us. Put a man on the moon. Create things like cell phones. video games. Some of them are for good. Some mankind uses for evil. But he gave us the ability to make things. That might be a better word than create. He's given us the ability to learn. To learn from our past mistakes and to learn from our accomplishments. When I think of that, I think of a little child, my kids, when I had the grill out in the backyard. Don't touch it, it's hot. Don't touch it, it's hot. One of them didn't want to believe me. Chase got his fingers burnt because he had to reach up and feel it for himself. I don't think he's ever done it again. We have the ability to reason, to think things through, to follow a course. To act on things without emotion, without instinct. It's the instinct of people to run out of a burning building. It's great fun for a fireman to run into a burning building. Look forward to it. Thing of pleasure. But you have to think about and overcome that fear of fire. To deep sea dive. Talking to several, I've heard them say that they had a fear of going down deep in the water, putting their trust in a little breathing apparatus. But they overcome those fears by reasoning. He made us something else. He made us pliable. Moldable, malleable. Uncle Hube used to heat steel up to pound it, to shape it into different things for his job. I used to heat horseshoes for some of the horses to make it, I could form the shoe easier for their foot. God has created us to be that way, like this piece of clay. All those are important things. But to me, the last one that I'm going to mention is probably the most important. Redeemable. He made us redeemable. Made us something of great worth. Think about that. And I'll come back to that here in a little bit. So let's talk about the first one, the soul. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Let's turn over into Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 15th verse. You know what? Stop. I just skipped the point. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. We'll come back to Joshua. Ecclesiastes, the 12th verse, or 12th chapter, the 7th verse. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God which gave it. That he gave us was of such great worth that he brought it back to him. When this body returns back to the dust that it was made from. Since I like to read things out of both set of books, let's turn over into 2 Nephi, page 86. Second Nephi, the first chapter. Starting with the 115th verse. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. Remember that. We're going to come down in a little bit. We're going to talk again about being redeemable. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil. To act for themselves, not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the law, at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given to them which is expedient unto men. Going back, all things are given to us that were expedient for mankind. And that can be for religious things, the scriptures, and it can be to make things that we need to live or to make our lives easier. It goes back to being able to make things. Now, who would have thought living up in the ice in North America that you could take the intestines of a seal, wash them and clean them, and make a wetsuit out of it? Who planted that thought in that group of people, how to take something that God has put out there and make it usable to keep them dry and to keep them warm? Living in the desert, I wouldn't have thought of it. How many of you don't have to raise your hands? Think about it. Would want to put on the intestines, the guts of some animal. But yet it was usable and they used it. God put that there. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediation of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself. And now, my sons, I would that ye should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commands and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the wills of his Holy Spirit, and not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which giveth the spirit of the devil power to captivate, to bring you down into hell, that he may reign over you in his kingdom. We can learn. We can take the scriptures and look at them and read them and learn what God requires of us. Learn what is needed. We can learn to change things within us that doesn't match what the scriptures require. Not necessarily an easy thing to do, but you can learn to change habits and change wrong teaching from the past, and do things in your life to change, to make you more pliable in God's hand, more usable. We are free to choose. That's the other thing I probably should have put up there in my thing list of what we are. He made us free. To choose what we want out of life. To choose what we want to be. To choose where we're going to live after this life. We have that choice. Speaking of the ability to learn and to choose, let's go over into Matthew. Christ speaking to his disciples, starting at the 18th verse. And Jesus said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. He made us teachable, and he sent people out to teach us. He sent prophets of old to write the scriptures. He sent his disciples to write the scriptures, to teach us. He thought it was great worth to send them out to teach us. John, the 5th chapter. The 39th verse. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. He wants us to learn. He wants us to study the scriptures. But he also wants us to learn how to communicate one with another and how to get along with one another. Wants us to read. Wants to improve ourselves. To make us of not only worth to him, but of worth to our brothers and sisters. Whatever that might be. If it's to be a lawyer, if it's to be a nurse, school teacher, a doctor, mechanic, learned things that's taught by man to help men. We are to learn. We're not to stop learning. But as we learn from the world that it has to offer that is good, we need to learn what's in the scriptures to keep us in God's hand to where he can do this with us and mold us and shape us into something that he deems as great worth. Isaiah, the 48th chapter. To the 17th verse, Isaiah 48. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit saith, Send me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shalt goest. The Lord's willing to teach us if we're having a problem with something that we need to change spiritually, to guide us, to direct us, to help us, to make the weak things stronger, weaken and lessen the stumbling blocks along the way. I've read several scriptures that talked about the Redeemer and being redeemable, but I'd like to look at that a little more closely at this time. Let's go over to Moroni in the 8th chapter, page 769. Moroni 8:8. And the words of the Lord came to me by the power of the Holy Ghost, saying, listen to the words of Christ, your Redeemer, your Lord and your God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem us, because we are of worth to him. We may not value ourselves as much as God values us as individuals. He looks at us and he says, you're worthy. You are redeemable. I came, I paid a price for you. But it's our choice. Are we willing to accept price he paid for us? Are we willing to accept the work that he did for us as a group, but as an individual? We are redeemable. He wanted us. He wants us. He created us. Job makes this point very strong in the 18th chapter, Job 18:25. Nope. 19:25. There's not 25 verses in 18. He also made some of those fallible. Job 19, the 25th verse. He makes this bold statement. In all his trials and troubles and the things that he's gone through, if you think your life is in great peril and you're having struggles in your life, read Job. He's a good lesson. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh will I see even in the depths of his despair, he can stand up and say he knows that his Redeemer liveth. What a great hope that he had within himself. I hope you have that same hope within you, that you're willing to stand and testify the hope that you have within you when questioned. Yes, I know my Redeemer liveth. And yes, I know that my soul, when it leaves this body, will stand before Him and be judged righteously by Him. And that is a hope, as a nurse, that I can give families. When people start asking me, where did my loved one go? I don't know exactly, but I can tell you what I believe. That their soul went to the God that gave them life. And they are judged righteously. Not by man, not by our emotions, our feelings, but by a Redeemer. Someone that thought their soul was of great worth. Psalm, the 19th chapter. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is it within you to request of yourself that everything that you say and do, that your meditation and your private thoughts of your mind and the desires of your heart be before your Redeemer? If they're not, if there's part of that that you would want to hide, you better evaluate it. And you better look at it closely and then know that you can change. That you can self-evaluate. And that's one of the things that some of my classes taught me. To self-evaluate while you're doing what you're doing. In order to be a good nurse, I have to evaluate my actions and the things that I'm doing constantly to make sure that it is giving a good outcome to my patient, the best possible outcome for the situation that they're in. And then when I've done self-evaluating that, when I go back into the nurse's station, I find that there's several of my nurses sitting around, not only have already self-evaluated, but we're talking amongst ourselves, I just did this and it had this outcome. And somebody else will go, I had the same outcome and I don't think it was good. So we should probably try to do this. Christians, we should do the same thing. We should self-evaluate and look at ourselves and our actions and say, is this taking me where I really want to go? And I tell you, when you're using emotion and you're using anger, that's hard to do. It's something you have to learn to do. To self-evaluate at all times. It is an important skill. And God has given us that skill if we choose to use it and to hone it and make it stronger in our own personalities, to be able to self-evaluate our actions while we're doing them. Go back into Isaiah 64th chapter. Isaiah 64:8. And that's why I've been playing with this. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. And we are the work of thy hand. I've made several things up here, crudely, because I'm not an artist. But I had a friend's mother out in Cave Creek who was a potter. And she would take a powder, put a little water in it, add color to it. Sometimes she would take ground glass and add to it to give it a sheen. Sometimes she would throw in pebbles to make it coarser. But what she made was something beautiful. She created it with her own hands. You are created with God's hand. Unlike my feeble attempts at the bowl, the twisted braid, God will make you beautiful to His eyes. Maybe not to our eyes, but to God's eyes, you'll be something beautiful, something of great worth. Why? Because you're redeemable. You are of great worth. Alma. Page 346. Alma, the 9th chapter, the 41st verse. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God, a time to prepare for the endless state which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. During this life is our time, our probationary time, to allow God to squeeze us, to mold us. Other terminology is put you in the fire. Is it painless? Sometimes. Often not. I remember when I was in wood shop, we used to make our own dowel pegs, which were round. And you would take a square piece of wood. You wouldn't just push it through the hole. You had to drive it through the hole. You had to beat on it. Well, God can beat on us. He's beat on me a few times because I did not allow myself to be pliable, to be moldable. The word just left my mind. He had to force me to change. But the change was still my choice. Just like Saul had to be forced to a point where he had to make a decision to change. Or Alma in the Book of Mormon. But it was still their choice, as it was my choice to choose to change. A few weeks ago, my father-in-law, Bob, spoke. And he talked about choices that he made and how hard some of them were. And he talked about smoking, where the first cigarette that he took, the first hit was hard and it choked him and it burned and it hurt. But it looked cool, so he kept trying. And slowly but surely, it became easy. We can take and fight against God. When we start it, it's going to hurt. But after a while, it's going to start seeming easy because he gave you the right to choose. Just like, conversely, if we want to choose to allow him to mold us, we can do it easily. And he will mold us. This is our probationary time to allow that. Allow to be made into something that's beautiful in God's sight. Staying in Alma, let's go over to the 16th chapter. Page 430, 227th verse. Yea, I know that ye would come forth and harden not your heart. I would that ye would come forth and harden not your heart any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you will repent and harden not your heart, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is a day for men to prepare or to perform their labors. Part of those labors is to make the right choices, to allow us to be moldable, bendable, be flexible. To choose to serve God. Alma 1984, page 452. One verse. And thus we see that there was a time granted unto men to repent, yea, a probationary time, a time to repent and to serve God. This is our time to make those choices. But it comes if we make the right choices. We choose to allow God to change us and to mold us. It comes with a promise. Turn over to 1 Kings, the second chapter with me. Starting with the first verse. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the ways of the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and shew thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies. And it is written in the law of Moses that thou may prosper in all that thou doest, And whatsoever thou turneth, whithersoever thou turneth thyself. We have a promise of God. We may not prosper as we, or as mankind, thinks we need to prosper. But we will prosper spiritually. We'll be strengthened spiritually. And we'll be a hunk of easy, soft, pliable clay. But like anything else, if we force God to take his hands off of us and we stay set and like this clay, we will harden and become immutable and unacceptable. So we can claim the promises of our Lord and make the choices to be pliable and claim his promise to be prosperous. I hope I gave you some thoughts, some things to think about and ponder upon within your own life. Today. And that while you ponder upon it, you might ask the Lord in your heart to strengthen you where you are weak. To be pliable within his hands, to be that which he desires you to be. And always be thankful for the fact that you are redeemable. Something of great worth in God's hands. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring everything, for God shall bring every work unto judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, will be made known unto him. That is our duty. Hopefully it's a pleasant duty for you. A hunk of clay in the right hands is something of great worth and of great beauty.